everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Men in Tights podcast, episode 97. And this one is going to be all about DC Fandom's Hall of Heroes that happened on August 22nd, this weekend. I'm not going to go through every single thing, just going to go through some of the major, more major stuff that went down during this whole event, which I have to say was a wonderful 8 hours of DC content, and they'll be back again on September the 12th for more DC Fandom awesomeness. And I have all my notes here on my little notepad, so let's get started on this. And the panel that they had opening up was for Wonder Woman 1984, and it was, let's see, I have my notes on here. It says, we had the cast of Gal Gadot, Pedro Pascal, Chris Pine, Kristen Wiig, and director Patty Jenkins answering some fan questions, which was some pretty fun. It wasn't anything, at least with regards to the plot of the film, which I'm already planning on seeing that. If the movie theaters where I live here in Jacksonville ever open up, I would very much love to go see that, because especially since I keep seeing commercials for the New Mutants movie coming out this Friday on the 28th, and as of right now, the movie theaters, again, out here are not open, and I hope they will be open so that I can go see it, because I've been waiting for that movie for 2 years. But anyways, back to Wonder Woman 1984. I'm just going to try to, not verbatim, read on here. It's what I have in my notes is, Gal was just absolutely adorable and so goddamn gorgeous that it was difficult for me to focus at times, which it's true. I mean, she was just, Gal is always just so beautiful and just adorable and just so fun in interviews, but just something about this panel, just something about her this time is just, I don't know what it was, but she was like extra beautiful this time. I don't know, I can't really see. I guess you'd have to have seen it to know what I'm talking about. And Pedro was very charming. It's going to be interesting seeing him as Maxwell Lord, especially because, most fans, if they had not known of who he was previously, most of them know him as Mando from The Mandalorian, which is, he did a phenomenal job on there. So it'll be very interesting to see him go from playing the bounty hunter from The Mandalorian to now being the evil, sinister Maxwell Lord. So, I don't know. I mean, not really sure what to expect, but just based on what they've shown in the previews so far, I'm pretty excited to see what he can do from that. As himself, he seems like such a nice, genuinely nice guy that it's going to be funny to see him as an evil character. I guess you can kind of say maybe it's like kind of like Mark Hamill, how such a charming, nice guy in real life, and he's, besides Luke Skywalker, best known for playing the Joker. So, and then we also have, they talked about the dynamic between Steve Trevor and Diana, specifically referencing the role reversal of the fish-out-of-water aspect that we saw in the first film, whereas in the first film, it was Diana leaving Themyscira being the fish-out-of-water, entering the world of man, and Steve Trevor being the one to, kind of teach her and navigate her through the whole thing and, get her acquainted with, with humans and their way of living. And then in this one, the roles are switched, and Steve Trevor being resurrected, which they still have not really gone into detail about how that's going to go down, which I love, because that means when we learn how all that went down in the movie, it'll be a surprise. Although I do have my suspicions that Maxwell Lord has something to do with it. But yeah, he's the fish out of water in this scenario, being resurrected in the year 1984 and trying to get reacclimated to the world and all the changes that have been made since he died back in 1917, 1918, whatever year that the first film takes place. So that's going to be a lot of fun. And then we also got a nice surprise appearance from Linda Carter, the original Wonder Woman from the 70s. And it says that she joined the panel as well, which was a wonderful surprise, and everyone basically fanboyed and fangirled over her. Hell, I got excited too. I mean, I didn't expect her to be on there, although I did kind of suspect that she would be. I mean, they're celebrating 80 years of Wonder Woman this year, so of course she was going to be there. And it's also 80 years of the Joker from what I remembered. I gotta get that Joker, you know, deluxe edition book on Amazon. And then we had the new trailer, which to me was great, and we got to see a lot more action pieces and dramatic character moments that we didn't get to see in the first trailer, because the first trailer was very, very heavily emphasizing that this is going to be in 1984, especially when, you know, with that variation of the Blue Monday song that they played, and emphasizing all the 80s, you know, stuff going on, like with the wardrobe and the, you know, the mall and the bright colors and all that fun shit. And we also got to see our first official look at Cheetah in live action. Kristen Wiig, because in this trailer, they've really showed a lot of Kristen Wiig in this one, showing her slowly transforming. Not really, you know, the physical transformation, but just her personality. Like the part that I think we all saw it, like, in like certain TV spots and on Twitter, when Gal does the boom with the gauntlets, and then Cheetah does the little does a little spin thing, and, you know, basically, you know, I guess fights it off, and yeah, they go at it, and then we get to see her in her cheetah form, which I think looked great. Might need some minor touch-ups, but I still think it looked great, and I'm excited to see this movie. I really can't wait. And at the end of the trailer, they had a fun little moment with Steve trying on different clothes. So I'm looking forward to seeing more of their chemistry, which, you know, chemistry with Diana and Steve in the first film, you know, Gal and Chris Pine, was perfect and probably my favorite, ship couple or whatever you want to call it. My favorite comic book movie couple ever, because it was just, you know, I don't know, just their chemistry was just so natural, and I really enjoyed it, and I'm probably gonna, you know, watch the first Wonder Woman movie again a few times before Wonder Woman 1984 comes out, so that I'll, you know, have all that information fresh in my head, so that once I go see it, hopefully in theaters this November, and then I'll be able to, you know, bounce off of their chemistry from the first film, seeing what they do in the second film, and just, yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. And then moving on to what was the second panel, sorry, I'm trying to catch my breath here, we had the Warner Brothers Games Montreal announcement, which the game officially announced is going to be Gotham Knights, and some of the details that they have on here, they didn't give away too much, you know, because, which is good, you know, you don't want to spoil everything, because this is just the official unveiling of what the game is going to be, and that, based on the trailer that they showed, is Bruce Wayne is dead, quote-unquote dead, as is Commissioner Jim Gordon in this story, because that's what how it opens up. It's a message from Bruce to the Bat family, basically saying, the cliche, if you're receiving this message, it means I'm dead, and we are going to have Nightwing, Batgirl, Robin, and Red Hood as the playable characters, at least as of right now. I'm sure that they're going to have some type of, you know, DLC and added stuff where you get to play as the other characters in the story. And also, at the end of the trailer, as we've suspected for several years now, we will be getting the Court of Owls in this story, which the way they revealed it at the end of the trailer was just so fucking cool. I mean, the game looks great. To me, it looks great. I can't wait to play it whenever it does come out. I think it's supposed to be coming out next year. I'm not 100% sure, but I believe it's next year. And the way one of the developers that they spoke with, the way he explained it, I have it written on here, is that they wanted to take away the safety net of Batman. That's how he described it. I think that's how he described it. Taking away the safety net of Batman in this world, and they have you, as the player, figuring out how you're going to step up and protect Gotham as one of the members of the Bat family. Whether it's Nightwing or Robin or Batgirl or as Red Hood, you know, you're having to step up and take on that mantle that has been vacated with the apparent death of Bruce Wayne. Although I don't believe he's actually dead, you know, because, you know, in comic books, you never actually die. You always come back somehow. And one of the other little bits on here, we got early alpha gameplay footage that, to me, I thought looked great, but yeah, a lot of people were complaining, saying that it looks worse than the Marvel's Avengers game, which, I mean, I don't understand the comparison necessarily, but, you know, that's how people are. And they also kept saying that because it's nothing like the previous Arkham games, that's because it's not connected to the Arkham games at all. It's not connected to any of the Rocksteady Arkham games, and it's not connected to the Arkham Origins game either. You know, but with that said, I mean, to me, the graphics look great, even though it is still in the early stages. The combat style, the fighting mechanics look pretty solid as well. And the music that was featured in this trailer and the gameplay footage was pretty cool. I mean, it reminded me a lot. The music did remind me a lot of the music featured in the Arkham games. But, you know, again, this is not connected at all to the Arkham games. And we did see in the gameplay footage, we saw Mr. Freeze. Which, I mean, he looked cool, but the way, you know, the way he was fighting back was nothing at all like the Mr. Freeze from Arkham City. So it'll just be interesting to see, you know, how the other villains work out in this one. And then the panel that I have up on my list, because again, I didn't cover everything. If I did, you know, it was a lot of stuff that it's like, man, that's not really that interesting. That's not interesting. Although, like, some of the in-between segments that they had, like, they would show, like, little different segments of, from, like, with clips from Batman the Animated Series and Batman Beyond with Kevin Conroy doing redubbed new dialogue where he's referencing different stuff from other, you know, versions of Batman from film and television. And it was just, just pretty freaking hilarious in my opinion. So if you didn't see it, go out of your way to look for it on YouTube. I believe the official Warner Brothers or DC Comics YouTube channels might have them. But, you know, don't take my word for it. You know, do the research yourself, because I'm not really always gonna, you know, have the motivation to do that for you guys. I'm just being honest. But yeah, the next panel that I have that I covered on here is called Introducing the Flash, and this one talked about the Flash movie that is starring Ezra Miller and directed by Andy Muschietti. And that, you know, in the panel they spoke with Andy, and the way he spoke is that he sounded like he is a true DC Comics fan. And they even talked about how in the It movies, Chapter 1 and 2, that there were a lot of references to DC Comics in there, which, honestly, I didn't even notice it right away until they showed the footage. I was like, oh yeah, the movie theater marquee showed that they were showing Batman. And the what's-her-face in the pharmacy saying, oh, with the glasses, you look like Clark Kent. You know, so I gotta check those movies out again to see what I missed. And yeah, that the film it officially is going to launch the cinematic multiverse. That's exactly what they said this film is going to be. It's going to be the launching of the DC cinematic multiverse, which I am just so excited to see how they're going to explore that going forward. That is awesome. That is so cool. And I love that they're going to be able to do this. And also, then they confirmed that Barry will get a brand new suit in this movie that is actually constructed by Bruce Wayne, you know, which I'm pretty sure is going to be the Ben Affleck Bruce Wayne, which he was not on this panel because all these panels were pre-recorded ahead of time, and the Ben Affleck news was only just broke last Thursday, as you already saw on my video talking about how excited I was about that. But we did get some concept art from Andy that from the way he spoke about it, I believe he was the one that actually drew the concept art that showed off what is to be the new Flash suit for this movie. And it was another little concept art that they showed that sorry, I got a little thing in my throat. But in the concept art, it shows Barry, like, in a fighting stance with Batman behind him, but it's the Michael Keaton Batman. And even has the three-pointed tail from the Batman 89 costume, which just the art looked really freaking cool. Make sure you go check that out as well. So yeah, I mean, they didn't really dive into too much of what's going to be in the movie. Ezra, like, in, because it was like in between little segments from the panel, he would drop random facts about, you know, certain characters and stuff from DC Comics, which was very random, but it was kind of fun and, you know, entertaining and informative. Like, he spoke about the Batman vs. Dracula film that Andy Warhol created that had never been released. So, you know, I would love for that to eventually be released. That would be an awesome thing. Maybe HBO Max, if they can get the rights to it, they can release that as like a special, thing for Halloween. Yeah, who knows? They got 2 months to work it out. They can get that going if they wanted to release it on Halloween this year. But yeah, I mean, it's like I said, they couldn't really get, because they haven't gotten started on the movie yet, so they can't really do much. They couldn't really give much away yet. Oh yeah, and Christina Hodson, she was there as well. And she talks about how excited she was to be working with Andy and with Ezra. So, you know, and I know a lot of DC fans give her shit because she also wrote the script for Birds of Prey, and they didn't like, and these are people that didn't like the Birds of Prey film. I liked it. I still haven't seen it again since I saw it in theaters, so my opinion might change on a second viewing. But, you know, as of right now, I am a fan of Birds of Prey. So, yeah. And then the next panel that I have covered on my list over here is from The Suicide Squad, and featured director James Gunn and the entire cast of the film. And James talked about his love of the original comics of The Suicide Squad, because, as he put it, it reminded him a lot of the film The Dirty Dozen, which is a great film, by the way, if you've never seen it. And I believe he spoke for like I think that's his favorite movie, so I can see why, you know, that it resonated with him so much. And we also finally got confirmation over which actor is playing which character. And I have the list right here. We have Michael Rooker as Savant, Flula Borg as Javelin. And some of these we actually already had confirmation in one of them. I actually had in one of my news videos that I did last year, which is this one. David Dasmalchian as Polka Dot Man, Idris Elba as Bloodsport, John Cena as Peacemaker, Pete Davidson as Blackguard, Sean Gunn as Weasel, Daniela Melchior as Ratcatcher 2, Marisol Correa as Soldata, Steve Agee as King Shark, Nathan Fillion as TDK, Mailing NG, I think that's how you say it, as Mongol, Peter Capaldi as The Thinker, Alice Braga as Solsoria, and Storm Reed as Tyla, Bloodsport's daughter. And they didn't really give too much away about what the plot is going to be. They had Viola Davis as Amanda Waller, you know, of course, returning from the first film. Joel Kinnaman as Rick Flagg, Jai Courtney as Captain Boomerang, and Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn. Of course, we already knew they were coming back, you know, but yeah, they didn't really give away about much about what the plot of the film is going to be, which is fine. You know, I want to go into it blind, not knowing what I'm going to get into, and just hope that I'm surprised and I get the best film possible. And we did get a good behind the scenes video that, you know, actually, as I have it written down right here, took my hype for this movie from a 6 to a solid 10, and it genuinely did. It showed a lot of practical effects being used, a lot of explosions and a lot of crazy stuff going on with that, and then also we saw a lot of the new costumes that are going to be used. And the way I wrote it down here, the costumes look great, especially Harley Quinn's new costume. It looks straight out of Injustice and perfect, which it really does. It looks exactly, I think, like the Injustice 2 costume that Harley Quinn wears. And it really does look spot on, perfect. And, I mean, Margot Robbie, she looks great in pretty much any outfit that you put her in. But it's just, I don't know. And the way the footage looked, and what they showed from the behind-the-scenes stuff, and the way they spoke about it, I believe this could be a rated R film, which I hope it will be. Because, just, I don't know, just based on that behind-the-scenes video that they showed, I feel like it has to be a rated R film. Because one of the things that Joel Kinnaman said in the package was, don't get attached to these characters. Which means a lot of them are going to die some brutal deaths, and that's pretty much what we want to see anyways. So, but yeah, they didn't give away much about the plot, so I'm okay with that. You know, maybe we'll get a full trailer, official full trailer for the film sometime by the end of the year, because as of right now, it's supposed to be in theaters this next summer. Which, you know, worked out perfect anyways, because they'd wrapped up filming back in February, I believe, and James Gunn has been working on the post-production editing since then. So the film will be ready to go by the time the release date gets there. So can't wait to see that. Hopefully all the COVID stuff will have, you know, calmed down by then, and we can all enjoy going to the movie theaters again. And let me see what I have next on my list here. Ah, yes, the one that was probably the most anticipated panel of the entire day, and the one that I have right here on my little beanie hat, if you're watching this on YouTube, the Snyder Cut of Justice League. Whew! And it was, of course, headlined by Zack Snyder himself, and he was joined by Ben Affleck, Gal Gadot, Ezra Miller, Ray Fisher, and Henry Cavill. Yeah, I'm sorry, he didn't have his famous blue tank top. And they were there to help answer some fan questions, which was a lot of fun. And it was great to see all of them there. So, you know, everyone's still, you know, wondering why Jason Momoa wasn't there. I mean, he's been Zack Snyder's biggest cheerleader for these last 3 years. So, I don't know. I mean, hopefully everything's all right. Whatever. But yeah, you know, each one answered different questions, or asked fan questions on behalf of the fans that submitted them to Zach, and then Zach answered them. Like Ben's question was say that somebody asked who was Zach's favorite DC Comics character, and then Ben, you know, being playful, he said like something like, it's like, oh, we all know who's your favorite, you know, but you know, answer it for the audience, and they gave a little wink. Which, you know, Ben looks great. I'm so happy that he's back in the fold of the DC movies. That is awesome. And then and Henry Cavill, his little video package part of it, he looked like he was, like, even he said, he's like, I'm not standing at a prison. This is just where I work. And he was wearing like a little cap, like the old timey, you know, newspaper salesmen that stand on the corner, like, actually, I read all about it. You know, kind of newspaper salesman. And then Gal, I don't think she had a question to ask, but she was, she just spoke so passionately and fondly of Zach and how grateful she was that she gets to be Wonder Woman because of him, which I love that so much. That was great. And Ray, of course, you know, being one of the biggest cheerleaders of Zack Snyder as well was cool. I forgot what Ezra asked, but Zach made a joke about filming music videos with him in the desert. So, you know, it was just great to see Zach so happy and interacting with the cast the way he does. And we also got some surprise appearance from Patty Jenkins, which was a lot of fun. Which is kind of funny because, you know, a lot of people kept thinking that she was anti-Snyder and she was pro-Jeff Johns, which, you know, doesn't seem that way, but, well, you know, people will believe what they want to believe. And also superfan Dexter Washington, and also Fiona, who is helped launching of fourthsnydercut.com, and she was one of the, you know, pioneers of the Snyder Cut movement. So that was really cool to see them on there. And yeah, they had some questions to answer for Zach. The questions that Zach had for them, I believe. I was a little confused. They have the panel uploaded on the HBO Max YouTube channel, so if I can find it, I'll link it to you guys below. He did officially confirm that the movie will be split into 4 parts at 1 hour each to be released on HBO Max. They didn't say if it's going to be weekly or if it's going to be like all in one shot, like on Netflix. But he also did say that eventually it will be available as a full film. And he also brought up how, like, you know, internationally they don't have HBO Max yet, but that they're trying to work on a distribution deal as well. And then we finally got the official trailer, and I have to say, I've watched that damn trailer like 100 times at least since it premiered, and it leaked earlier in the day, but I did not watch the leaked version because fuck those kind of people. I do not go for those leaks. I wait until the official one is released by the man himself, and I legit teared up and cried my eyes out. Not really cried my eyes out, but I cried tears of joy for that trailer because it was just so, so fucking beautiful. I mean, seeing all these different things that some of it that we've seen before, but it was like, you know, pre-VFX, unfinished VFX, and some of it is stuff that we had never seen before. Like, we got to see Darkseid in motion, in color, and it was fucking beautiful. And that is the opening shot of the trailer after they show, you know, the HBO Max logo. And then the music choice was Leonard Cohen's Hallelujah, which, according to Zack Snyder, because he was on the Real in Motion roundtable for these later on Saturday night, and he talked about that the trailer that he premiered on DC Fandom was the trailer that he had cut himself for the film 3 years ago, with Hallelujah as the song for the trailer, and which just, that's just freaking awesome. And we got to see several shots of Superman wearing the black suit, and it just looks so fucking beautiful and glorious. And we got to see the shot that's probably gonna break every fan of all over the world watching this, when, and it's, I know it might seem kind of like a spoiler, but we all, most of us in the movement already kind of know that this is gonna happen. Silas Stone trying to destroy the mother box so that Steppenwolf wouldn't get it. Takes like a laser thing to it, and in the process, destroys himself as well. And again, it's not. I'm not spoiling it. It's in the trailer if you haven't seen it already, and I will have the link to the trailer in the description, the official trailer from HBO Max's YouTube channel. And it's just, and we got to see the Barry saving Iris West scene in the trailer as well, with the finished VFX, or at least mostly finished VFX. And we got to see Steppenwolf in the original form that Zack intended for him to be in. We got to see Desaad in the trailer as well. And the hero shot of the League standing together, all together, which they do have that shot in the theatrical version, but instead of them looking at a bunch of, you know, flowers blooming, no, they're looking at the destruction of the post-battle with Steppenwolf. And also, that's another cool thing. They show that cool shot of Superman flying and then, boom, giving a Superman punch to Steppenwolf. And it looks just, oh, so fucking cool. And also, there's a cool shot of Batman taking a parademon shooting at Batman. And Batman is just blocking it with his gauntlet. It's like, that is such a fucking badass Batman thing to do. And we also got a cool shot of from the nightmare scene from BVS, Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice. But it's a variation of it from a different angle, showing the rubble and the ruins of the Hall of Justice. We see Wonder Woman's shield and sword in the rubble. We see Aquaman's trident. We see a floating Joker card is there as well. And according to Zack, when he was on the Real in Motion roundtable, he said that there's a lot of stuff in that ruins. Oh, and I will have the link to that roundtable in the description if you guys want to check it out, because it was pretty freaking cool. And it was a wonderful surprise for those of us who were watching it live, who had no idea that he was going to be there. And yeah, it was just such a fucking cool trailer. And then at the end of the trailer, they show Barry talking about, like, you know, this guy's probably faced hundreds of other, you know, super beings on planets that he's destroyed, and he's, you know, and then Superman gives the line that's on the back of the Zack Snyder's Justice League t-shirt that was launched on Ink to the People. They said, that Bruce says, "I don't care how many demons he's facing, how many hells, he's never fought us. Not us united." Oh, so fucking, such a great trailer. And the people that are saying that they're not impressed by it, that it still looks like the same movie we got in 2017, fuck you. Because you are either a blind hater or you're just a fucking idiot. Seriously, how can you look at that trailer and think that it's going to be the same movie? Come on. Come on. Yeah, you're either just a blind hater who's gonna hate anything that Zack Snyder does, or you're a fucking moron, plain and simple. But yeah, I'll have the link in the description for the trailer if you haven't seen it yet, which probably already have. But hey, I've seen the trailer like 1,000 times already, so no shame in watching it again. And plus, I've watched so many reactions reaction videos to people with the trailer, which my favorite one probably being from Mike and Jay of We Watched a Movie, the way they get excited for almost everything that's in that trailer, so cool. And then next panel that we have that I have up on my list is the Black Adam panel, which I think happened right after. No, because after the Snyder Cut panel, then it was the Flash, the CW's Flash, had a panel, and then Black Adam. But I didn't watch Black Adam because I was watching the live reaction from Film Junkie during that. But I eventually watched the encore airing of this one so I can get my notes together. And my notes, I guess, it was a short panel, but we did get some cool shit from it. You know, not gonna lie. You know, we had a cool little introduction from The Rock talking. As he's Black Adam, and like we got the official logo of the movie, and the logo did look pretty cool. And we also got some cool concept art that I believe, and I'm pretty sure. I think he actually confirmed it. What came from Boss Logic and Jim Lee, because they've collaborated with The Rock on a few Black Adam images that he's released on his social media over the last few months. And he spoke very fondly and quite passionately about his love of the DC Comics characters and the lore of the characters, specifically of Black Adam. And, you know, actually, I really respect that, because it seems like he really knows his shit, you know? And he also spoke about how the development of this film has taken either almost a decade or over a decade. And it's like, he's really been working on the development of this film for that long? Why is it taking so long for it to be made? I mean, The Rock has become one of the most powerful people in Hollywood. Why is it taking this long for him to get his own superhero movie made? That doesn't make any sense to me. Especially because he has his own production company, Seven Buck Productions, that he co-runs with his ex-wife's brother. So, you know. I think Hiram Garcia is the name. But anyways, yeah. And yeah, I have it right here. He seems to really know his shit when it comes to the history and lore of Black Adam. Which, yeah, I literally just said that. And we also got an appearance from Noah Centineo, who will be playing Atom Smasher in the film. He is the only other officially confirmed cast member besides Dwayne Johnson. I hope he does well in the role, because this will be the biggest project of his career so far. Yeah. And we also got confirmation of other characters that are going to be in the film, and it is Hawkman, Dr. Fate, and Cyclone. And there's no casting announcement yet for those characters, but it's nice to have confirmation that these characters are going to be in the movie. And then The Rock, he closed it by basically calling out the Justice League. You know, essentially saying, you know, I'm coming for you. Essentially giving, like, you know, there's a new sheriff in town kind of, you know, monologue. Which, I mean, yeah, I'm very curious to see if that leads to anything going forward with these DC movies. You know, the way I understand it, also, that at least from the point of view of Dwayne Johnson, that these films take place within the same world as Zack Snyder's films, which, if that's the case, fucking A, man. And then we did have an Aquaman panel, but nothing really came out of that. I mean, they didn't talk about any details about the sequel. It was just Patrick Wilson and James Wan talking about about their experiences with the first film. And, I mean, the only thing that we got, you know, from it is just James Wan saying that Aquaman 2 is going to be a more serious movie. That's all we really got. I mean, the Titans panel had a lot more. I mean, they confirmed that, you know, Commissioner Barbara Gordon is going to be in season 3. You know. But after that, I have the Shazam panel in my notes here. And honestly, to me, this is probably the most entertaining panel out of the entire thing. Because it's just, I don't know, it was just a lot of fun. It really was. I mean, because, you know, we had Zachary Levi, we had Asher Angel, Jack Dylan Grazer, Adam Brody, Megan Good, Faith Herman, and then David F. Sandberg from the all, you know, all up in there, you know. And we also had a surprise appearance from comedian Sinbad, which just kind of came out of nowhere. And they joked about the Shazam movie that he may or may not have made back in the 90s, which was a lot of fun. And he was joking around, like, you know, talking about the Mandela effect with the Shazam movie, and then they talked about Kazam, and you know, the Sinbad thing, you know, I want to be in the Shazam movie and all that stuff. Yeah, I mean, they didn't really talk about what the plot is going to be for the movie, but they did confirm that the title is going to be Shazam Fury of the Gods, which that title really intrigues me. So looking forward to seeing what we come out with that one. And also, we did get some, you know, fun little moment with from Asher, where he joked about wanting to be digitally added to the Justice League Snyder Cut. So, what's going to come out of that? I don't know. Very interesting. Very, very interesting. If it actually means anything going forward, who knows? But still pretty fucking cool. And we also got... from the Suicide Squad game, officially named Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League. And this panel was hosted by Will Arnett. Why Will Arnett? I'm not entirely sure, but I mean, I love me some Will Arnett, so I ain't complaining. And we opened it with the official trailer for the game, which, as my notes have it right here, it's, we got a trailer which looked awesome. And it showed the squad, which consisted of Harley Quinn, Deadshot, Captain Boomerang, and King Shark, which I actually just found out today. I'm recording this Sunday night. That I actually just found out today that WWE Superstar Samoa Joe is the voice of King Shark for this game. So, that's pretty fucking cool. And gives me an extra reason to check this game out when it releases. And they're in Metropolis on a mission to kill Superman. And, was it just me? Or does Superman not appear to be, behaving like Superman in this one? And it could just be me. I might be just overanalyzing what we saw in the trailer, but that's just me. And also that the end of the trailer showed that the game will be released in 2022. Didn't give a month, just said it's going to be released in 2022. And I'm assuming it'll be for, like, you know, PS5 and Xbox, whatever the fuck the new one's going to be called. And one of the developers, because this is from Rocksteady, and he said that it is connected to the Arkhamverse of the video games. So in the world of Arkham Asylum, Arkham City, and Arkham Knight, this game is part of that. And I absolutely fucking literally love that, because I love the Rocksteady Arkham series. And if this game takes place in the same world as that, that means the gameplay is going to be very similar to it. And there's a good chance we might be getting some of the characters that appeared in those games. You know, maybe an appearance from a certain character voiced by Kevin Conroy? Either way, I'm excited for this. And they also did say that you'll be able to swap between characters as throughout the game, throughout the missions that you'll be tasked with throughout. You know, whether you're playing it as, you know, multiplayer co-op or in single player, that you'll be able to swap between the characters, which I think is really, really cool, and I love that, because, you know, as I've talked about in other podcasts, whenever I'm talking about video games, that growing up, I played a lot of multiplayer games with my brothers, because, you know, I'm the youngest brother, so, you know, I had to do that kind of stuff with them, you know, but now as an adult, I prefer single-player, story-driven games, and, you know, that's why I'm such a fan of the Uncharted and Last of Us games. So, I'm looking forward to playing this game. I think it's gonna be awesome, you know. And I might buy a PS5 this coming Christmas. You know, haven't completely decided on it yet, but I mean, there is also that Spider-Man Miles Morales game, so I might you know, what's the right phrase for it? Bite the bullet and get the PS5. I think bite the bullet is the right phrase. I don't know. Whatever. And then the panel that closed this wonderful, wonderful event was for Matt Reeves, the Batman. And hosted by Aisha Tyler, which I think she was the main host of the entire event. But she was, you know, the MC for this final panel to close out the show. And she was, of course, joined by Matt Reeves. But we also had Robert Pattinson do the introduction of the panel, where he talked about, you know, that he loves the Batman, and that he's always been a fan of Batman, and that He's excited to get back to filming soon, which I believe they're restarting production in September. And so that's really cool, and I'm very excited for that. And Reeves spoke very passionately about how much he loves Batman and about getting to explore the psychology of Batman, and he emphasized this several times throughout the panel. In year two, Batman year two. Not exactly from the Batman year two comics, but this world of this Batman movie is year two. And you know, that he's exploring the psychology of Batman and how Batman is gaining a better understanding of crime in Gotham City, and how that he is still learning how to be Batman, which I just absolutely love. I really do. I think that's awesome. Because, you know, with Batman Begins, yeah, that is Batman's first year, but then as soon as that movie ends, we jump to The Dark Knight, and it's like he's already been Batman for a little while, so you don't really get to see the progression in between films. It's just he goes from rookie to pro, just like that. So I love that this is Batman year two. And he also spoke a little bit about the GCPD series that's coming to HBO Max. And then the way he spoke about it is that the GCPD series will be year one in the story, and that it explores the corruption in the department from the point of view of specific officers in GCPD, which, I mean, I like that. I like that he's going to do that. And, you know, especially with Jeffrey Wright as Commissioner Gordon, you know, I'm sure we'll see him a few times on that series. And he also talking about the concept of his Gotham City, that he said that they use Liverpool as the inspiration for what is the backdrop of Gotham City. Because he also talked about how in the previous Batman films, like specifically like the Nolan films, that you could tell like that, oh, that's Chicago, that looks like Chicago. So which, yeah, it's true, especially the subway in the first film when Rachel almost gets mugged by those Falcone thugs. That is a very well known train station, subway station in Chicago. So, but yeah, I love because the way the architecture and the atmosphere, like, you can't really pin you if you didn't know that it was Liverpool, you would have never known. If you didn't say that this was Liverpool, you would never have known that. So, I love that. It's kind of like the first Tim Burton Batman film, where it doesn't look like any specific city. It's just Gotham City, and I love that. And he also talked about being inspired by films like Chinatown and French Connection and Taxi Driver, and also just being inspired by the Batman Ego novel for the world that he was creating. For this Batman. And he also spoke very fondly of the past interpretations of Batman, played by Adam West and Michael Keaton and Christian Bale and Ben Affleck, and talked about how excited he is to see Zack Snyder's Justice League, which I put a big smile on my face. And especially because also on the Real In Motion roundtable, Zack talked about how excited he is to see Matt Reeves' Batman. That was really cool. And then we finally got the teaser trailer, which before they premiered that teaser trailer, Matt Reeves said that they'd only shot 25-30% of the film before they had to shut down because of the pandemic. And if they really only shot that much of the movie, and they gave us a 2.5-minute trailer, holy fucking shit. I mean, if that's just 25-30% of the movie, then what the hell are we going to get with that remaining 70-75%? Because holy shit, that 2.5-minute trailer, it's one of the best Batman trailers for any Batman movie I've ever seen. It really was. And it was just so fucking gritty and brutal, and oh my god. And they used an enhanced version of Some Things in the Way by Nirvana for the trailer, which, I mean, I love me some grunge. I love Nirvana. Great choice of song for the trailer. That was really, really cool. And just getting to see Pattinson in the full Batman costume, not just, you know, set photos and the costume test fit footage that Matt Reeves had posted earlier this year. We get to see from head to toe, and it looked awesome. It looked great. And this film looks so fucking dark and gritty and brutal, and especially the part when the thugs, they have their faces painted, and the guy goes, "The hell are you supposed to be?" And then Pattinson just grabs the guy, comes at him with, I think it looked like a knife, and then he just grabs him and just boom, 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 just beats the fucking shit out of them. And then he just while still on his knees and the head down, he just goes, "I'm vengeance." Oh God, I had chills at that moment. I really did. And if it sounds like I'm fanboying out for it, because that's how I reacted when I saw that trailer. It was just so fucking cool. And then the voiceover from Paul Dano as the Riddler, that it sounded so freaking creepy. And the riddle that we heard him say, it was, "If you are justice, please do not lie. What is the price for your blind eye?" I've been trying to figure that out since I heard it. And but it also, because the trailer opens up with a crime scene, which I'm assuming that probably is Riddler in the scene, because he's putting duct tape around the person's face and it writes "no more lies" on the face, and leaves a little card with a riddle that it was what does a liar do when he's dead. And people that, you know, they've deciphered it and figured it out on Twitter, the answer to that riddle: he lies still. Yeah. And we also got to hear Andy Serkis, Alfred, for a couple of lines, which I'm excited to see his portrayal as Alfred. And Jeffrey Wright as Commissioner Gordon, from the couple of glimpses that we got to see, he looked great. I'm excited to see him as Commissioner Gordon. I love Jeffrey Wright. He's a great actor. I'm excited to see his portrayal of Commissioner Gordon. And we also got to see Colin Farrell as the Penguin, which the prosthetics that they have on him, because he mentioned that he was going to be in prosthetics, you do not realize it's him until you really, really analyze the imagery of this trailer. And he doesn't even sound like himself either. So, I'm just so excited for this. And also the eye makeup that all the live-action Batman movies since Michael Keaton, they always wear the eye makeup, and then when they take off the cowl, there's no eye makeup. He's gonna still have the eye makeup when he takes the cowl off in this one, which is the first time that they're ever going to do that. I'm excited to see if they actually have an explanation, have anybody mention why does he have the black around his eye. So that's really cool. It was so freaking cool, that trailer. And I'll have the link to that trailer in the description as well. But yeah, this DC fandom was freaking awesome. And as I've said to other people, this is what this is what Comic-Con at home wishes it could have been. Because, holy shit, because it wasn't, you know, pre-taped segments split individually with no excitement to them at all. All of these segments had something to them. And it was, you know, even though it was all pre-taped, it was broadcast as one whole event. And that's what I loved about it. And when they come back again in September with the other panels, I'm going to cover that as well. So that'll be exciting and fun to do, and I look forward to some of the cool stuff that we're going to get out of that. But yeah, DC fandom was, in my opinion, a great success, and I hope that they'll do more of these going in the future. What if they're going to do it digital like they did this time? I mean, probably, I don't know. Or if they're going to do an actual convention, like in a convention hall, if they actually get to do that, I hope that I'd be able to attend it. That would be so freaking cool to go to. But yeah, DC fandom was a massive success, and You know, from 2008 to 2019 was the decade of Marvel. The 2020s, it's going to be the decade of DC. And that is going to do it for this episode of the Men in Tights podcast. I hope you all enjoyed hearing me recap some of the cool shit that went down at DC Fandom. And like I said, I'm going to have the trailers for... Actually, I'll even include the Wonder Woman 1984 trailer. I'll have the trailer for Wonder Woman 1984. I'll have the trailer for Zack Snyder's Justice League. And I'll have the trailer for the Batman in the description below. So if you guys want to check those out, if you haven't already. And... yeah, it's what a time to be a DC Comics fan. It truly is. And yeah, I hope you all enjoyed this episode. I hope that you check out more of the Men in Tights podcast content, my previous podcast episodes, my Worst to Best podcasts, my retro film reviews, my classic wrestling pay-per-views, and I have one coming this Sunday, August 30th. I'll be reviewing SummerSlam 1998, which is one of my all-time favorite pay-per-views. And also you can check my, retro film reviews, classic wrestling pay-per-views, Worst to Best, video game reviews, and I think on the last podcast I mentioned I might start doing book reviews, but stay tuned for that. And if you haven't already, please subscribe to the Men in Tights podcast, either here on YouTube or over on Spotify for the audio only versions. Spotify, Google Podcasts, CastBox, Radio Public, Breaker, and Anchor. The direct links to all of those will be in the description. If you would like to support the Men in Tights podcast, you can do so by joining my Patreon for $1 a month. Or you can check out the Men in Tights podcast store for some of the cool merchandise that I have on there that I've designed myself or had assistance in designing. The links to both of those will be in the description. And in the meantime, I hope you all stay safe, stay healthy, take care of yourselves and your loved ones, that you're all doing well, that you've had a great weekend, have a great week, a great day, and just thank you all so much for watching, for listening, for subscribing. I love and appreciate every single one of you who do. This has been the Men in Tights podcast. I am Julian, and I will see you all next time. Bye-bye.